Enoch took a stroll one day with the master, just him and the Lord alone. He got so close to the portals of heaven that God just led him on home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, so now I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggle over mountain, walk through some valley. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said I'll never forsake is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. I struggled over mountains, walked through some valleys. I thought I would never see dawn, but the one who said I'll never forsake you is the one that's leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. He keeps leading me home, destined for the throne. No time to slow down, soon I'll be heaven bound. He keeps leading me home. We hear about the war, we see the famine in the land. There's questions in the children's eyes, trouble in the east again. The whole world is shaking, there's no sure place to stand. And the mournful sounds are heard throughout the land. But I keep listening for a different sound, the sound of the city that John saw coming down, the sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. I remember the preacher saying, son, it shall come to pass. There'll come a generation that will be the last. I can't believe I'm standing here to see the end of time. And the preacher's voice still echoes in my mind. But I keep listening for a different sound, the sound of the city that John saw coming down, the sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. I remember the preacher saying, son, it shall come to pass. There'll come a generation that will be the last. I can't believe I'm standing here in the end of time. And the preacher's voice still echoes in my mind. But I keep listening for a different sound, the sound of the city that giants are coming down, the sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. And I keep listening for a different sound, the sound of the city that giants are coming down, the sound of the bride being united with the groom. Oh, I keep listening. Oh, I keep listening for a different sound. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he'll the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. Yeah, we're in the last generation, eh? I remember the preacher saying, "Son, it shall come to pass. There'll come a generation that'll be the last." But, you know, it's pretty hard to hear that sound in today's world of confusion. There's so much deception.
There's so much racket going on that you can't hear.
And so much deception. Every creed, every church, every doctrine has their own wave of deception. The Vatican, Catholics, there's no salvation, they say, outside of the Catholic Church. And they all pretty well say the same thing. They don't say it, but they're under the impression. Like the Hutterites, the people who come out of there, there's no salvation outside of the Hutterite Church. And they convince themselves that to be so. And here we're trying to just yank people back into reality. It's not what you hear out there. It's just exactly what Jesus warned in the last days. It'll be such a deception of such magnitude. And you can look around and you can see it's all about deception. It's all about deceiving people. It's all about people, they die and they don't even know that they're going to hell. But I've kind of been seeing this thing ever since that Paul Mandel from Rosebank passed away, and he's convinced he's going to heaven. But I know the man. I've had a lot to do with him over the years, and he's a godly man, like they all were. They all are. They're godly people, these preachers and these Hutterites. They're just like the ones back in the day of the crucifixion. The people that crucified the Lord of glory, they were God-fearing people. The Bible says so. Even the ones that stoned Stephen, like they were God-fearing people, but they were Christless. They didn't have no Jesus. They were just godly people. And same with that Paul Rendell. Everybody will praise him to high heaven because he was a preacher, but he was one of the king leaders from that holy ring, if you know what I'm trying to say. Everybody has their, the Vatican calls there the Holy See. Well, here, amongst the Hutterites, it's a highly God ring, you know, it's that holy see, that holy ring. And he was one of the, like I say, he was one of the king leaders, and I kind of want to kind of clear up the debris that I'm sure if you were down there at his funeral, they'd all praise him to high heaven, and what a good preacher he was. But he was a first-class dictator. He was not a Christian man. I know him. I know of him. I know he's got, I don't like to say these things I'm saying, but I'm trying to clear up the the debris, the mess that's out there, that people, they go to hell and they don't even know it. Like I'm telling this one guy, you know, if he could come back, like, he knows where he's at now, you know, there's no more deception, there's no more point. The devil has no more point in deceiving him, because he's got him exactly where he wants him. But when he was here, he was so deceived to think that the right thing is you got an automatic ticket to glory. That's it's just that simple.
Why do you think that rich man, he was so deceived in his mind, in his ideology, and he thought that no matter what, he's going to heaven. And he was so deceived, and he thought that is it. And when he died, he ended up being down in hell.
And yeah, the Bible says so.
And he couldn't believe it himself. He was so deceived.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he wanted someone to go back and tell his brothers, you know, because they had this mentality and this idea that they're going to heaven. And he wanted to wake them up.
Yeah.
But, you know, he said they have Moses and the prophets.
They got the Word of God.
That's right. So that's how deceived a person can be into thinking something. And, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be not too good.
Yeah, I remember I used to, you know, I thought the Hare calling was it back in the day. And sometimes I'd put my radar on and I'd wonder which would be like a masterpiece of a colony. In Moosta, and I came up, you know, Sommerfeld would be my choice of a,
yeah.
They got everything, everything is hunky-dory and nice and organized, and thought, the Lord interrupted my thought, and said, that's the worst of the worst, it's a dictatorship system.
Yeah, you wanted to find one that the others can pattern, to make a pattern, they're the pattern of, the best of the best.
Yeah, and the same thing. I remember you said your dad made the statement that Rose Bank Colony, where that man died, that he said that's a masterpiece, that's a Musama. But that's the natural way of thinking. And if you drive through there, I think you drive down there, if you think drive through there, everything is just hunky dory, everything is organized. Everything, and then they got their church service and their traditions, and you dare not be out one hair split, because he'll be on you to correct you, you know. They don't want your tradition to be spot on, but see, it's like that rich man, they're so deceived, and then they die, and like I was telling this guy, if he could come back, he would tell the people exactly what we've been trying to tell him from the last 10, 15 years. And he would have said, but see, he can't come back, but we've been trying to, he did exactly, he was told, that rich man was told exactly what we've been doing here. He said, Sam, they have Moses and the prophets. And we have the Word of God that we have to abide by. That is our moose and our example is the life of Christ. And it's not compatible with that, with that Hutterite lifestyle, because they don't tolerate anything. I learned early on that I used to think that, you know, that's the way to go, and the Lord saved me in there, but when I got saved, I thought, man, everybody needs this. Everybody needs to hear about this. But I soon found out the worst thing you could do in the Hutterite colony is to become a Christian. And I soon learn to go underground. If you got that thing, you better keep it to yourself. And then for the longest time, I was a miserable Christian, but I had to go underground. I had nobody to fellowship with. You would think you could talk about the Lord with these people, but you can't. In fact, they got you under a hit list. It's the spirit of the thing. And I didn't know back then. I was 22 years old when the Lord saved me. I didn't know what I'm going to run into true life. But as time progressed and kept on moving forward, I began to see that tech is not of God. And eventually I was wondering, why is it like that? There's got to be a root. Let me see, there's a, the root problem, so to speak. I wanted to know from the Lord, what is it? I think it went for 10, 15 years wondering, Lord, what is it like people like my dad, you know, tries to help the poor and he's the best of the best. He preaches good and everything. Yet, when it comes to Christianity and the Holy Spirit, he is just not interconnected with it. And yet he was the best of the best. And for the longest time I went like in a daze, almost like day and night thinking, what is it? Lord, what is the root problem? Why are they like that? And then one day, you know, the Bible says, seek and you shall find. And I told you before, I was coming back from Alberta. It was about 12 o'clock at night. And I was crossing from Saskatchewan to Manitoba. And there, just in a split second, my answer came. It's that Roman Catholic baptism. And that baptism, that stronghold, that's why you cannot talk about Christianity and that outright system. They'll never accept it. Mm-hmm. And that's what I told them when I was up against their meetings. And I didn't even know I said that, but that laser Paul down there that left the colony down at and he started up his own business down there. And I called
Carmen.
Him. Yeah, down the Carmen. And he told me. He was at that meeting. And I told him, and he said, he heard me say that your baptism is of the devil. Well, I didn't know I spoke that plain, but that's exactly what I said. I said, it's not of God, it's of the devil. It's a Roman Catholic baptism. And see, they were all there. They all know it. But 30 years later, they haven't even as much as went to search it out to see if these things be so. Not one of them I could convince or even as much as tell them that they at least need to look at it. I begged and I pleaded with them. I said, when you build a kitchen, go all over looking for the best of the best. But here's something like that affects your eternal destiny. You won't even look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And today, yeah.
And you can find out what's really from the devil is because that baptism was introduced by Satan because it's really a counterfeit of the real thing. And when you will go back in history, when it was instituted in 325 with Constantine, and then you come to Charlemagne 800 and how he used that religious baptism, that Roman Catholicism, in all the region of Europe that did not fall under Catholicism, he beat them into submission.
And then if they wanted, they killed them.
They killed them. If they wouldn't rear away from what they believed, he had them killed. And see, and that spirit is still alive and active today because it originates from the devil. And he uses that baptism to beat people into submission. And that's the same way, even if it's in the Hutterite system, it's still the same spirit.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same baptism and the same spirit that the devil has used throughout the ages. And he can't use baptism in Jesus' name because it's real. The baptism in the Trinity is not real. Mm-hmm. So he uses that. And that's how you can always find out the root problem of things.
Yeah, the churches out there, they're all Trinitarians. And they're not going anywhere. And like mm-hmm. I say, each one have their own sect. Each mm-hmm. have their own ideology. If you're not a Pentecostal, you're not going to heaven. I remember this friend I used to know. And he decided one day going down to the Pentecostal church to get baptized. So he had a talk with the preacher, and the preacher said, one thing I need to tell you, once you get baptized, you can only fellowship with people that come to this here church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, see, that's the same. It's the same spirit over each one of them. It's first-class deception. But we're talking about that Paul Mandel now. Like I say, I knew him, and I know what people think of him. And you cannot convince any one of those people that he's not in a good place. He's down in hell, screaming and wagging and wishing that somebody will go back and tell the rest of his family, or that the rest of that holy ring, that is not the way to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, we're the only lost boys in the world. That's telling them.
That's right. Like it says, when the rich man was down in hell, his eyes were open.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't deceived anymore. Mm-hmm. Like he was so deceived that he is going to heaven and Lazarus is going to hell. That was his deception. And when he was down in hell, his eyes were open. And that's what happens. That's why he wanted so badly for someone to go back and tell them, because he knew that they were just as deceived as he is. But you know, there is no excuse for that.
Yeah.
Because the word of God is there. And if a person really wants to find out the truth, they can find out the truth. Deception is sometimes a choice, I would say. You know, people just choose to be deceived.
Like we care about the Hutterites. In fact, that's our only mission, these Hutterites. And when somebody dies, we can tell whether that guy is, and because we feel a sadness. Feel sad for the last 3-4 days ever since I heard the man pass away, that because I know he's not in a good place. And if somebody dies, passes on, and you and I, we feel it here, like when your mom passed away. We were having a glorious time, you and I, in the spirit, because we were rejoicing in the spirit. And then even when your dad or when my brother John died, we could feel it in our makeup that at least he made it to a good place.
Mm-hmm.
We have nothing to fret or to worry about.
Mm-hmm.
But see, when that guy passed away, and it was a sadness, you know, throughout the whole atmosphere kind mm-hmm. of thing. And that's, how do you get through to people? How do you tell people that? How do you get through? We've been trying to tell them for the last 10, 15 years, and we're not getting anywhere, you know.
Especially if they use that deception. Aus Gnade und Barmherzigkeit, by grace and mercy
yeah.
will appear before God. Now, Jesus said something in Matthew 10, I want to read it. It says, and ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. Okay, if you, let's say, you go down the road just preaching, by grace and mercy, God is a loving and a merciful God. God is a loving and a merciful God. Okay, where do you put Jeremiah? Where do you put Isaiah? Where do you put Hosea? Where do you put Amos? Where do you put Haggai? All these prophets, Elijah, Elisha, how they exposed the Rome. The wrong with Israel and with Judah, and they expose their idolatry
mm-hmm.
and their deception, how they're being deceived, and their wrongs. They expose them. And what was the result of it? They were hated.
Mm-hmm.
And now today we're speaking out and exposing all the wrongs, like going to repent to a priest.
Yeah.
That is wrong. The Bible clearly says there is a mediator between God and men. There are so many. The baptism is wrong. The Christmas is wrong. The Easter concept is wrong. And it's just a simple Passover that Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. And they have all kinds of rituals. They have all kinds of rituals attached to it that make it not real.
Mm-hmm.
And it loses its effectiveness. And when I read this scripture here, and ye shall be hated of all men,
mm-hmm.
and this scripture would contradict that, you know, if I would just go around and say, God is a loving and merciful God, and I would read this scripture, and ye shall be hated of all men, why am I not hated if I'm just saying God is a loving and merciful mm-hmm. God? But Jesus came to expose wrong. He exposed the deeds of the Pharisees, the Zealots, the Sadducees, and their wrongs. And people couldn't believe, they were so deceived too, that that these what are you doing, Jesus? Like, you're going against these holy people, these godly people.
Yeah.
What are you doing? But he knew what was in their hearts, that it's just a man self-made righteousness. And but if this scripture contradicts, like Jesus said, why will you be hated of all men? Because you will expose wrong, you will tell them the truth. That's why you'll be hated of all men. Not because you're going out and telling everybody, oh, God's a God of love. God's a God of love. And I would be deceiving people and not telling them what God really requires.
Yeah. I remember that Lord from Riverdale. I tried to witness to him, and he always go, Ausknode by Marzikai. The God's grace and mercy. That's how we get to heaven. Because of his grace and his mercy. Because of his grace and his mercy. And you can see it all around. You can see it. Tim Relaford. Because of his grace and mercy. Everybody led that guy we talked about. We are going to be in the hands of an almighty, loving, merciful God. Regardless of what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. We're just in the hands of a loving, merciful God. And he's going to see to it that I get to heaven because of his merciful and his grace. But his grace and mercy, we've been saying it over again, it's the fact that his grace and mercy entices us, it teaches us to deny these worldly things and the things of this world. Mm-hmm. That's his grace and mercy. It's not that throughout his grace and mercy you get to heaven. No, the Bible says, as he's tashin in the high stomach now, the God is all in mention. Und sie zicht die Gets und dann weiset und dann lehret und dass wir verleihen sollen, dass Gett nicht weiß, die Welt hier listen und zicht die Gere, Gott selig leben in dieser Welt. And that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God entices us, admonishes us, begs us, pleads us that we should deny this world and all its enticements. And live godly before him. That's the grace of God. It's not that he's going to just sweep you into heaven regardless of your lifestyle. Like that Paul Bendel, I know him, and he's convinced that he's going to heaven. And there's nothing you can do or say that'll change him otherwise. We send a lot of books out to him, to people. But I don't think we ever send any to him because I knew before I even send him out that there's no hope for him because he's so religious and so sacrilegious and so convinced he's right because he's been brought up like that. So there was no sense for the Lord to move in my heart. Anyway, I never felt the Lord moving on me to send him anything. But his brother, that Eli, we sent him some. And his brother-in-law, that Leonard from Dalton, we sent him some because I saw a little bit of there's a little bit of hope there, that maybe something will grab. But that Leonard from Delta, he sent his back. That Eli from Hidden Valley, I don't know whether he threw him out or what, but at least he didn't send him back, so we don't know what side of the fence he's on. I felt in my heart, I felt for the man, but for that Paul, there was no point in sending him anything because he would reject it right without even think of nothing of it. But here, I felt, I felt a little bit of hope.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it'll still happen. They're still alive. But he's dead and he's gone. And like I say, if he could come back and tell his brothers and his relatives and the people that he come out of, he would speak exactly what you and I are saying here. But see, we can't speak to them because they won't listen to us. I mean, for 30 years, I've been shouting it from the rooftops, I've been in their meetings and I put my life on the line so that they could at least go and look at it. But they don't even go as far as to look at it. That Michael here from Summerfeld, we tried to talk to him, and then that boss I was telling you about that from Summerfeld here, he died here, had a stroke and died. I spent many times trying to tell him about Christianity, and then we send him some books, and here he sends them back. That I don't want nothing to do with your garbage. I don't want to know what's going to happen over on the other side. I'm just convinced that I'm in the, how do I call it, I'm the boss here, and I'm doing the best I know. I'm going to get to heaven. Mm-hmm. Not even consider looking at it, you know. Then shortly thereafter, he had a stroke and died. And same with that guy from Woodland, a preacher from Woodland. We sent him some books, and he got furious. We're just trying to steer these people in the right direction. At least look at it. They don't even look at it, you know. Mm-hmm. It's just like when Paul talked to these Jewish people there, mm-hmm. they literally put their fists together and they started shaking and breaking out in a sweat and got so furious. That's exactly what these people are doing. We get their phone calls and their text messages. They're absolutely not interested.
Mm-hmm.
And here this guy died, and it's a sad day for the Mendel Klang, for that whole ring, for their circle, because he's not in a good place. He's down there wishing he had somebody that he could send to tell his mm-hmm. his cohorts that he's not in a good place.
Mm-hmm.
But here we just, in the last 3-4 days, I felt I need to address that. I felt we need to talk about this, because the people are so deceived, and so at least even if nobody listens to us, at least it goes into the heavenly realm. And somewhere, if they're serious, if there's a person out there, the Lord can bring it and convict them and convince them to go search it out if these things not be so. But as far as me talking to them, the minute we talk to them, they put the brakes on, you know. They do exactly the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spirit of the living God can somehow convict them or convince them.
Yeah,
that's why we're having these conversations.
Mm-hmm. They're so rigid. You know, when something is rigid, you can't bend it. Like an old oak tree, you just can't bend that oak tree. And that's what religion and tradition does. It, after a while, you're so rigid in that you cannot even reason. You cannot go to the scripture and analyze if these things are not so. Like water baptism is so simple. All the apostles, if you go to the book of Acts, they baptize in Jesus' name.
By immersion.
And when you will research, even when you, what it says in Matthew 28, it says, in the name, they're singular.
And yeah, Father Jesus, is not a name.
Uh-huh. And Jesus is the only name there is whereby we must be saved. There is only one name given, and that is Jesus Christ. And there is no other name given. It's only Jesus. And if people would just like do a little soul searching instead of just going after tradition and their rituals, they would open up some understanding in them so that light can shine through. Like they have barred out the light so much that there is not even a ray that can shine through the cracks. That's mm-hmm. how much they have sealed everything off from God, like from God even to working in their hearts.
That's why I think we got somebody we can talk to. Then he turns out he's even the worst of the worst. He would completely close his mind up. Mm-hmm. That guy we were talking about the other day, or text him, and he's completely convinced. He's got baptized and the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and he made these vows and these promises before and that, how do I call it? And he's convinced he made that vow, and he's going to got a ticket to glory.
Mm-hmm.
But you got to go back to the scripture to see what the Bible says
mm-hmm.
about that.
Mm-hmm.
Like we've been saying here all along, that thing is not real. It's of the devil, that baptism,
mm-hmm.
that other thing. And like I say, for years I just went to the Lord. I wanted an answer. And it's all that Roman, Catholic, diabolical,
yeah.
satanic, counterfeit baptism.
And they have so many things in common with the Catholics. Like today they're starting their conclave on finding a new pope.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same way what the Hutterites do. You know, they have the same kind of rituals that they use in order to elect a preacher. It's not being led by the Holy Spirit. like back when the Holy Spirit came, the Holy Spirit would say who he choose who he wants.
And he wants to preach.
Mm-hmm. Like we know the conversion of Paul, that he was a chosen vessel. He was chosen, and you couldn't dispute that he was a chosen vessel. And that's how God has throughout history chosen men that would go speak for him. And you can, like Wesley, John Wesley, like the before the Reformation hit, the early Reformation, you had Huss, you had Wycliffe. These men were sent by God with a message to expose wrong. They exposed Roman Catholicism. They were really after, like, even what we're still saying about the Hutterites, that you don't go to a priest to confess your sins. They were after their indulgences, that only a priest can forgive sins, and penance, and purgatory, and all these things. They were exposing what was wrong with the Catholic Church, even back in the 1300 with Huss and Wycliffe. And that's all we're doing. We're exposing what's wrong with the Hutterite, which is really Roman Catholicism, in a nutshell.
On steroids. It's really, that's worse than Roman Catholicism. And we're just exposing it. Back in the day, that was 30 years ago, the Lord told me, Sam, I want you to go up and expose that thing. Had nothing to do with young, fruitful works of diet, but rather expose them. Mm-hmm. We've been doing it for 30 years now, and we can't even get a crack in. Like you were saying, everything is so sealed off, we can't even get in sideways.
Uh-huh.
I got family in there, they think I'm crazy. And I'm telling them the truth, and that's the only job we have. Mm-hmm. So we'll just keep telling them the truth, and God only knows what he's going to do, how he's going to work. We can't do nothing other than tell people the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever we get a chance, if somebody gives us an ear. But the thing of it is, they won't even give us an ear anymore. They're like that Neil Conley, they're irrelevant, they're unapplicable, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the devil's trick. Just make that guy unapplicable, irrelevant, don't listen to him. He's a troublemaker. But see, we're telling people the truth, and what they do with it, that's really their business. And I'm at the point where I really have no empathy towards them anymore. Mm-hmm. I'm just like almost like, I hate to say it, but I just don't feel for them anymore. Unless the Lord moves on my heart to pray for somebody, then I will. But all in all, we've put my life on the line, lost everything so I could try to wake these people up.
Mm-hmm.
Just tell them the truth. And even that is falling by the wayside.
And I was reading the other day about Huss and Wycliffe and how they burned up all their writings that they had written because they were so infuriated with being exposed. The devil was so angry, and they burned their books, like Roman Catholicism. They had him, they burned them, they burned them at the stake. And it's the same way today when we send these books, they send them back, or they send them back and scribble on their junk, and or they rip them out, rip them up, and throw them out on our yard.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same spirit behind it, and because the truth offends people, and people just cannot yield to the truth. Like when God exposes something in your life, you yield to it, and you openly confess and admit that, yeah, I'm wrong, and then it's over, right? But these, they just want to keep on living the lie, and they lie against the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what it is. And I was reading that the other day, and I thought, you know, that spirit is still alive today, and that's why Jesus said you'll be hated of all men. It's not because you go around saying God is a loving, merciful God and a God is a love. We all know that he is that. But we also know the other side of God, that he is a God of wrath. Because when the day of the Lord sets in, He is gonna be there's gonna be wrath poured out.
Amen.
On evil mankind, because it says he's also a God of war, because he cleans things up. When you go back in history, people think that God has changed. He's not. He's still a righteous God, and he does not like sin.
And the wrath of God and the wrath of the Lamb, they're two different things. That day of the Lord will be the wrath of the Lamb. Imagine all these years, for 2,000 years, Jesus has been sitting on the throne of earth, begging and pleading with mankind, and they reject and they reject and they reject. And it is our, they just keep on rejecting. And on the day of the Lord, that's the day, the wrath of the Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you, you don't want to be on the bad side of him when that time comes. You want to be, have done everything you know to do about your eternal destiny. And that's what you and I have been doing all our life. Yeah, we weren't these godly people the way we should be, but it was always on our radar. We always knew there's a God in heaven. We always knew that there's only, he can't cross that line. And it's always been on our makeup. We've always tried our level best to do what's right, to the best we know how. And here it is, end time. It pays off, because look how good the Lord's been to us. Think about it. I was thinking the other day when I was coming out of the car, and all I got to do is plug it in, you know, plug it in. It's an electric car.
Mm-hmm.
And all I did was plug it in, and then it charges overnight, and then we could drive around all day. You know, the next day we could just go out, and it doesn't cost us only just a fraction of what it would cost if it was diesel or gas. Mm-hmm. And I was so grateful that the Lord saw fit to move on us to get an electric car here in this closing days of time. And then the price of diesel and gas almost tripled from back in the day. And here all I did is plug it in. And then, like I say, I'm good to drive around all day long. And then after that, plug it in again. And he knew that. And he moved on us, like I say. He's better to us than we would be to ourselves, simply because we decided one day to follow Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what, no matter what the price is, we decided to follow Jesus, and we decided never to turn back. And then the Lord, he blesses us with these tremendous blessings that he just bestows on us. And I sometimes have to shake myself. Lord, why are you so good to us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because we have, I put him first, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish everybody would be like that. I wish everybody would do what we've done. But the devil had deceived them and blinded them. And they're convinced that God's rich in mercy, and he'll see to it that they get to heaven, and they don't have to do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to fight on a daily battle, day basis, against the flesh and against the world and against the devil. You never let your foot off the paddle, because the minute you give up, guess what? I know people like that. I know people that give up the fight, and all of a sudden, the first thing you see, they're 100 pounds overweight. And we're working toward the other end. We're working to lose the weight. But that's just part of the battle. But we're not deceived into thinking that out of grace and mercy, you're going to go to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
We know what the Bible says. It's the grace and mercy that he moves on us, that he entices us,
that
he admonishes us, that he begs with us, that he pleads with us to deny the things of this world.
Mm-hmm.
That's the grace and mercy.
And the ungodly things, and to live a life that's upright, pleasing to God. Not pleasing to a religious system, but pleasing to God.
That Paul Mendel, they're a very rich colony. I bet they got millions, because they got lots of pigs and pretty good money in pigs. And he's a very, very wealthy man. And he's like that rich guy. Yeah, it's covered up with how to write. And they say nothing belongs to him. But believe you and me, it all belongs to that preacher, because he's not a very honest shooter. Because when it came to making ball, he made sure one of his kids get in there. When it comes to making a second preacher, he made sure one of his kids gets a job. They keep it in the family circle. And there's a lot of things I could tell you about. He uses two weights when it comes to judgment. When it came to that, He's related somehow to that pedophile up at Perry Blossom. He died. He's dead now. But when he was found out, they bent over backwards trying to keep him just going to this Auschwitz-Wiggum room. They tried to help him, you know, instead of kicking him out there. But I guess the law stepped in and wouldn't let him stay at that same place where these young kids are, where that he was sexually abusing them and he's a pedophile and they try to help him backwards because he's one of their kinfolk. Mm-hmm. He's part of their holy circle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how he operated. They used two weights. When it came to my condition, to my situation, they used a different set of weights. When it comes to one of theirs, they use a different set of weights. Mm-hmm. He's got all that hanging over him, and he took that all over the other side with, and the Bible says, cursed is him that carries two weights in judgment. And they'd like to see, there it is. He just cares about himself. And he's not in a good place, that's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the Bible doesn't contradict itself. They believe in a religious system instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is just a name to them that they use. It's not real to them.
Like I say, we're doing speaking for him now. Like he wishes there'd be more people listening to us. As he all he knows, they over there. The Satan had no more reason to deceive you over there. He's got you exactly where he's been wanting you all along.
Mm-hmm. When you will read about testimonies, how when people were in hell, there is no more need for shame there, like, and trying to cover stuff up and things like that. It's an open book there.
Yeah.
There's no more need to be deceived or deception, mm-hmm. because you're already there at a place of judgment. That's right. But here, everything is geared in such a way to deceive people. And that's why Jesus said, beware lest any man deceive you. And that's in this end time, the spirit of deception is just everywhere. Everywhere you look, it is geared to deceive you. When you watch the news, when you watch shows, it's behind it is a spirit of deception to suck you in and deceive you.
That's why I keep saying we're the lawn. Boys in the wilderness, we just keep on talking, you know. Mm-hmm. There's nothing they can do to stop us, and that's our job. Like I say, we're doing exactly what that Paul Mandel wishes somebody would go there and tell his brothers and whoever's left in his holy circle to tell them that. Mm-hmm. But will they listen? No. They'll do the opposite. Hopefully somewhere along the road of life, something will happen that God will open up your understanding. But that it has to, because that Babylon thing is falling. In 3 years, mm-hmm. there's nothing left of that Hutterite religion. All these religions, they're going down the tube. They're done.
That's right, because I was reading here something. I'll read it. It's in Isaiah 2. And they shall go into the holes of the rocks and into the caves of the earth, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. In that day a man shall cast his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which they made, each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and into the tops of the ragged rocks, for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty, when he ariseth to shake terribly the earth. Then those idols did not do anything for them anymore.
That religion, that deception.
They threw them to the moles and to the bats. You know, all that religion, that thing, they will realize, you know.
That's the day of the Lord.
Uh-huh, that the fear of the Lord and the glory of his majesty, because he's going to arise to shake terribly the earth. And you're going to see the earth reel to and fro like a drunkard. There is going to be judgment.
Mm-hmm. It's just up the road here, this generation. Like we're singing that song. This generation. Remember the preacher saying, and it shall come to bad. We're living in that last generation. It's stupid, to foolish not to do everything you know to do, to try to turn your heart towards the heavenly.
Mm-hmm.
Just listen to what we have to say. It'll get you there. I don't know how God's going to work it. All you got to do is believe it. That's what we've been doing all our lives. That's what God has prepared us for.
That's right.
And, we're trying our level best to do it and try to be faithful. That's all I ever asked. That's all I ever prayed for. Lord, help me to be faithful in what you've created me to be. And that's what we're doing here. And we're having a good time. We get persecuted and terrorized and all that. But deep down in your heart and your soul, you know you're doing the right thing, mm-hmm. You know? You got peace, joy unspeakable, and full of glory.
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, give you thanks for another day of life, Lord, for the many things you do for us, Lord. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for this opening of your word in these closing days of time, for giving us something to do, giving us this job, Lord. We just pray to just continue to use us for your honor and for your glory. Do with us as you see fit, Lord. Just most of all, Lord, I pray you'll open the hearts of the people, Lord, and give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.